We are going to continue the hour by talking about health and healthcare. COVID-19 numbers back on the rise as we get into the winter, with wastewater particles and hospitalizations both at their highest levels in North Carolina since the Omicron wave last winter. Also, of course, cold and flu season as well. And it's been a rough year for RSV in kids, though UNC Hospitals was fortunately able to close the pediatric surge unit they had to open back in November. How is our healthcare system doing? What do you need to know to stay healthy? We're joined by Dr. David Wohl, infectious disease specialist at the UNC School of Medicine. Dr. Wohl, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Thank you, Aaron. It's good to be here.
So starting with COVID-19, what do we know about the state of things right now and the latest subvariant that's kind of making its way through the country?
So as you mentioned, Aaron, we are seeing a surge in cases and hospitalization and people getting sick. And that is not as bad as it was last year when we got hit with Omicron. That's the good news. The bad news is we're in a surge. So this stresses everyone. It stresses the hospital systems. It stresses clinics. It stresses people's workplaces because more and more of us are out of work or out of school. So this is a big deal, but not unanticipated, right? This has been very well predicted. Cold weather, gatherings, holidays, runny noses and touching doorknobs, all those things are operative right now. Good news is not as bad as last year, and that's a testament to mostly vaccination and maybe a whole bunch of people getting Omicron, probably not the earlier variants, but the Omicron variant, which is protecting them from getting really sick as well.
You mentioned the predictability of the virus in terms of picking up during the wintertime. How about just the evolution of the virus in general? Is it evolving the way that you and scientists have kind of expected it to, or is it still surprising in its evolution?
Well, any skeptics about evolution should now be totally convinced that it exists, because we're seeing it played out in real time, in rapid real time with this virus. So the virus, like every living thing, evolves over time to be more efficient at doing what it needs to do, which is reproduce. So what we've seen is as we build up more immunity, but as we continue to spread the virus, it has opportunities to mutate so that it pays forward to the winner. So if you have a faster greyhound, it's going to have puppies that are just as fast as it and its mate, and you're going to select for faster and faster puppies. What we're doing now is selecting for viruses that transmit much more readily and that can evade the immunity that we've developed. Good news is it can't do it completely. It's just more catchy. So now we have variants that are easier to catch, shorter distances, less amount of virus, whatever it is, that can make it spread quicker and easier than previous variants. And that's going to continue until the virus snaps in half, right? Until it can't do it anymore, until it hits a wall. But it's doing a really good job. Good news is it's not more lethal. There's no advantage of this virus right now to become more lethal. In fact, that probably wouldn't be a good thing. So it's more catchy, and that may cost it some efficiency in maybe making us sicker. We don't know that for sure, but symptoms have shifted over time. People don't lose their sense of smell like they did with earlier variants. That may be telling that the virus is changing. But yeah, we have more catchy virus than ever before.
Yeah, what about the symptoms? What are the most common symptoms that we're seeing with these new variants?
Well, it really is starting to coalesce more and more towards what we see typically with flu, and like you mentioned, RSV. So these are becoming sort of a constellation of viruses that are becoming less and less distinguishable. So it's very, very hard to tell them apart clinically now that we don't see as much of the, I lost my sense of smell or I lost my taste. That seems to be less than we saw before. A major difference, of course, is that we do see long COVID. Hard to define, so it's hard to quantify. But certainly there are some people who get long COVID. So that's another important feature of COVID-19 right now.
How are we doing at treating long COVID? I know advances are happening all the time as we're still learning more and more about the virus, but how is treatment for long COVID going?
Well, it's hard. Like I said, it's a mix of different things, and it's probably more than one thing going on in different people. Some people, maybe it is an overactive immune system responding to the virus, maybe, maybe not. In other people, there may be something else that's gone on or that's triggered or that's just taking a really long time to recover from the damage that the virus did to their organ systems. So I think we'll get a better handle on this, but it's probably more of a syndrome, meaning a collection of different problems rather than one disease. But look, we have to do a better job on a number of different fronts. One is better job at telling people how to protect themselves, and that's the bivalent vaccine. If you have not had the bivalent vaccine and have not had COVID-19 infection since September, then I don't understand why. There's not a very good reason not to get the bivalent vaccine, and a long list of good reasons to get it. It does seem to cross-protect against the new variants, XBB and probably XBB.1.5. So that's really good, so that there is some cross-protection against infection and getting really sick. So I would certainly take the bivalent almost no matter what. And if you're over 65, it's crazy not to take the bivalent. That's number one. Therapeutics, not only for long COVID, but we need better therapeutics to treat COVID-19 and people who get sick. Older people, even if they take the bivalent vaccine, don't always make a good response. So they're still at risk of getting very sick, as is the immunocompromised. So we need medicines that can not only prevent people from getting hospitalized, which we have now with Paxlovid, which is a very, very good medicine and should be prescribed more than it is, but we also need medicines that can make us get faster, quicker recovery. And we just don't have that right now. We need things like Tamiflu for COVID-19 that can shave off days of us being sick. And probably better vaccines too, maybe a nasal vaccine. Maybe we'll get on a cadence of, you take a shot every year, but maybe a nasal vaccine with it or twice a year. Those are the kind of strategies we're going to need so that we can get, more close back to normal.
Speaking with Dr. David Wall again, UNC School of Medicine, and kind of on treatment for COVID, I've kind of had it in my head that the day the pandemic is unofficially over is the day that the first over-the-counter COVID medicine shows up. You mentioned Tamiflu. How far away do you think we are from having a Tamiflu-style treatment for COVID?
And I think we need, Aaron, not only Tamiflu, we need probably Tamiflu Plus, because Tamiflu is pretty good. It really is pretty good, and people can swear by it. It is easy to get. It's not over the counter quite, but you can get it pretty readily from your clinician. We need something like that, maybe even a little bit more potent for COVID-19. And I think that it's up to us how fast we have these things. None of these are impossible. We've seen that we could develop really safe and effective vaccines very rapidly with due diligence, of course. So I think it's up to us. We have to apply the pressure onto the companies, onto our academic institutions, and really this takes leadership from the government, of course, to say, we really place a priority. Operation Warp Speed actually paid dividends that we're still enjoying the benefits of today. We need to continue Operation Warp Speed. We don't need to continue with Operation, let's step on the brakes. We need to continue to push and say we need even better vaccines. We need much better therapeutics, right, for people to prevent them from getting sick, and even in people who are sick, because we haven't looked back completely. And we need things for people who don't respond to vaccines, because we've lost those monoclonal antibodies that were protecting some people. So we need a little bit deeper, toolbox than we have right now in pretty much all the buckets. And we could do that if we invest time and money and energy into doing it.
How is the healthcare system and hospitals, how are they holding up under the continued strain of this?
This is not hyperbole. It's totally true. I am just completely amazed at how resilient the professionals in healthcare have been, across the country, if not across the world. This has been an extremely difficult time for us. It's sort of out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people who don't interact with the healthcare system or healthcare providers or healthcare workers and staff, but it's been really amazing. We've had a very, very tough 3 years, yet people are showing up to work with smiles on their faces. Really, it's so true. I'm witnessing this every day. People who've been in the trenches for so long have really just stood up and made a big difference. So my hats are off to all the people who, in any way, from the people who help us keep the hospital clean and keep people fed, and keep, everything working operationally, answering the phones, making appointments to the people delivering direct health care. I just have to tell you, Aaron, it's just been amazing. And remember, we're short-staffed. We either short-staffed because people have not come back because of the great resignation, or because people are out sick. So we're stressed. And that's why it's really helpful if you don't get COVID and get really sick. If you don't get COVID and don't get really sick, you're helping preserve our healthcare system and our sanity. You're helping preserve the workforce that we have, and that will help our economy. If you're waiting online at a bank or waiting online on the phone, there's a good chance part of the reason is because somebody's not there because of COVID-19 in one way or another.
So on that note, what should we be doing to keep ourselves healthy?
Please get the bivalent vaccine if you've not had it. There's no good reason not to get it. it's been underused. And I'm not saying we need to vaccinate, boost our way out of this pandemic. That's not the solution. But for right now, during this surge, with these variants and with this new vaccine that is so good, so safe. Look, I was in a cab the other day and the taxi driver said, I think this is all an experiment. All these vaccines, they're experiment. And you know what? If it is an experiment, it's worked. The experiment has worked. More than half of humanity has had vaccination for COVID-19. And you know what the experiment shows? It works. It saves millions of lives and it's extremely safe. So, okay, I'll grant you, I don't think it's an experiment. I think this has been done the exact right way we needed to do it at the right time. But if I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and this is a mass conspiracy experiment, the experiment has shown the results that we were all hoping it would show. So now let's move on and take the results to heart and use the results, right? So the vaccines work. If you're not getting the bivalent vaccine, you're not protecting yourself, you're not protecting your community, and you're not protecting your country. And so I think that's a problem. So we all need to get the bivalent vaccine, top up our immunity. Whether you've had COVID-19 or not, there's really not a good reason not to get the bivalent. Get home tests, keep them around. Home tests are really, really pretty good. For something made out of plastic and cardboard, you know, it's pretty amazing that we have that available to ourselves. So when I get together with others in small gatherings at my house, we test on the porch. It takes 15 minutes, then everyone's inside, and I feel a level of security and safety that I wouldn't have otherwise. So just be smart, be prudent, try not to catch COVID, do what you can to your ability, and get the vaccine. And I think that's the best you can do right now.
Speaking with Dr. David Wall, and we got to start wrapping up this conversation, but as we do, we've been talking about COVID-19. It is also cold and flu season. We had a spike in RSV cases a couple months ago. That's declined a little bit, but it's still with us. What should folks know about the status of those other diseases this year?
Right, absolutely. And you know, we've had people just not want to take the flu shot many years, going, you know, way, way back for a variety of different reasons and a lot of research. But now more than ever, you don't want to get the flu and confuse it with COVID-19 and then be out of work for longer than you need to, maybe even get a COVID-19 medicine when you don't need to, all those sorts of things. So we don't have a home test for flu. That's another Operation Warp Speed 2.0, if you will, that I think we should be thinking about. Maybe we should get something that can help us with that. But get your flu shot. Come on. There's no good reason not to get that either. These are things that really protect us, that help us. And so there's not a downside to getting the flu shot as well. And getting Tamiflu if you get sick, I think that's a really important thing to do as well, and keeping away from others. RSV, we don't have an RSV vaccine. There was a lot of work with something called mRNA technology being used to try to develop an RSV vaccine, but that's been pushed over, of course, to COVID-19. Will we eventually get one? I think we will. But right now, nothing you can do. So just be careful, be protective, try not to get infected with these viruses by just good hand hygiene, wearing a mask. I know it's the M word, but I like masks. I think masks help us. They're a tool in the toolbox. It's a hammer, not a screwdriver. Use it wisely, use it appropriately, but masks can really help us too.
Dr. David Wall, infectious disease specialist at the UNC School of Medicine. I want to thank you so much for your time. Before I let you go, though, I just have one more question. That cab driver who told you that he thought this was all an experiment, did he know who you were when he said that?
No one knows who I am outside of a very small radius of your listening, you know, viewer kind of census. So no, he didn't know it was, but he asked me why I was wearing a mask in the cab. And I said to him, is the pandemic over? And he's like, no. I was like, well, that's why I'm wearing a mask in the cab. And that led to our conversation.
It's like talking about, like, you don't like a movie when you're in a restaurant and then the guy sitting next to you is the director of that movie and just, like, jumps into the conversation.
Right.
It's the perfect
well,
person to be talking
to. Well,
good
for me to hear this. I mean, I think, I don't know that I convinced him, because then he started talking to me about, like, chicken broth and getting infected and how that's a good thing. And I was like, well, you know, we could agree to disagree. But I think, you know, my point being, there, you know, how does he know that I don't have it and I could make him sick and he could make his mother sick? You know, so those are the kinds of conversations that sometimes we have to have.
Dr. David Wall, UNC School of Medicine, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron. Take care and be well.